بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. My dear brothers, if everyone could come close together, inshallah, it will give space for the other brothers who are coming in, inshallah. And while we're just waiting, if everyone could recite Durood Sharif as well, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We started 2 weeks ago with the life of our beloved Uthman رضي الله عنه, the way he lived his life and the way he the sacrifices, as you can say, he gave for Islam. He wasn't a normal Sahaba, as we call it. He was one of the Ashara Mubashireen, the 10 people that were guaranteed Jannatul Firdaus, the 10 people that were told that they'll be going into Jannah without any questioning. No matter what they do after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that they'll be going to Jannah, no matter what they do, they're guaranteed to go Jannah. But if you still look at their lives, the lives of the 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who still were told that they're going to Jannah, what did they do? Did they stop their ibadah? Did they stop their faraiz? But rather, we should look at what they've done and the shukr that they've done upon hearing the glad tiding and hearing the good news of going to Jannah and being guaranteed Jannatul Firdaus. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was such a great man, as you can say. 2 weeks ago, we stopped at the part when he was getting married to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya radiallahu anha. So inshallah, we'll continue on from this part, but he was such a great man, Uthman radiallahu anhu, that his example could not be given in any other Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If you compare him to the other Sahaba, they all had their own characteristics, as you could say. They all had their own goods, the benefits. But Uthman radiallahu anhu, his shyness, his honesty, his modesty, the way he was with other people, his generosity, it could not be matched with the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When the order came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the marriage of Ruqayya alayhi salam and the son of Abu Lahab, Utbah, and when their marriage ended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry your daughter to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And upon this great news, Khadija radiallahu anha and the Prophet ﷺ got very happy, because there's no such man as great as Uthman radiallahu anhu. And when their marriage happened, people started envying them. People started being jealous of their marriage. Why? It's because Uthman radiallahu anhu was such a handsome young man. He was, as you can say, an adorable man. When you looked at him, you wanted to be in his company. You wanted to be next to him. And when you look at the other side, Ruqayya alayhi salam, when you look at Ruqayya radiallahu anha, she was such a beautiful young lady that the other men used to wanted to marry her. The other men and the woman used to wanted to be like her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted her with natural beauty. So when two people like that come together, Ruqayya and Uthman, when they come together, such beauty in that marriage, people would envy them. People would the people would write poems about them, about the love, about the relationship that they had with each other. Do you know nowadays how we call it the cute couple that we see on social media, or we say the relationship goals that nowadays we have on social media nowadays? This is what Uthman radiallahu anhu and Ruqayya radiallahu anha was. This is what the relationship that they had was. They were such a couple that other people would be jealous of them. And they would try to end their relationship by saying stuff to them and by trying to end their relationship. But they would not be affected by them people. Rather, they'd done their ibadah and they listened to what the Prophet ﷺ would tell them. And they loved each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we all know, the Prophet ﷺ was such a great man that there is no other example like him in the whole of mankind. And he was a great man, he was a great Nabi, and as well as this, he was a great father as well. The teachings that he gave to Ruqayya radiallahu anha and the other daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, it shows how much of a great father figure that he was. Even after the dismissal of Ruqayya radiallahu anha into the marriage of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he did not stop visiting her. He did not stop asking about her health. My brothers, in our culture nowadays, especially in the Pakistani culture, what do we tend to find? We find that when our daughters or our sisters are married away, we don't ask about them. We say that now they're married away, so they're not our problem anymore. They're in the hands of their husband and their family. We cannot ask about them, and we cannot do anything about that. But if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ would frequently visit the house of Ruqayya radiallahu anha, and he would always ask about her as well as the other daughters. This was a father figure. Even though they got married, they were married away, he still went to their house and asked about their daily routine and what they would do and how does your husband treat you. Nowadays, as I said, my brothers, in our cultures, our daughters, our sisters are being ill-treated. They're treated in such a way that there's zulm going upon them. But do we ask, why is this happening to my daughter? Why is this happening to my sister? No. Because of our sharam, because we say, what will the society say? What would the people say? We stay quiet and we let our daughters and we let our sisters be ill-treated, being zulm upon them. But the Prophet ﷺ teaches us that even after the marriage of your daughters, you still go visit them. At one point in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ went to the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And when he went, it was his daily routine to go once a week or twice a week. So when he went, he found that his daughter was washing the head of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So he got pleased. And when the Prophet ﷺ, my brothers, when the Prophet ﷺ was pleased in something, he would always be happy. He would tell that person that I'm happy in what you're doing and keep it up. And if he was displeased, he would tell them that I'm not happy in this and stop what you're doing. So when he seen that the daughter is taking care of the husband, he got happy and he went to Ruqayya radiallahu anha and said to her that, oh my daughter, keep up what you're doing. Do what you're doing. Indeed, this is what will guarantee you Jannat. So this is a father figure, my brothers. This is an example of what the Prophet ﷺ would do even after he got the daughters married into the hands of their husbands. And the relationship between Uthman radiallahu anhu and the Prophet ﷺ was such that whenever the Prophet ﷺ would receive any gift, whenever the Prophet ﷺ would receive any food, he would make sure that he sends a portion, he would send a little of that gift to the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Why? It's because his daughter is married to him. It's because the grandson, Abdullah, is also, that's his father, Uthman radiallahu anhu. So that relationship that they had was such an amazing relationship that they would exchange gifts with each other. One of the times when Uthman radiallahu anhu was migrating and at that time, Ruqayya was sick, she became unwell. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he got his wife to sit on the camel as she was sick, and he walked the whole way to the other city. When the Prophet ﷺ heard of the story that his daughter was made to go on the camel and her husband was walking the whole way, the Prophet ﷺ sat in the corner and made dua for Uthman radiallahu anhu because of this gesture. Because of what he'd done for his daughter, he sat in the corner and he made dua, "Oh Allah, I am pleased with Uthman, so you must be pleased with him as well. Oh Allah, grant him Jannatul Firdaus." And he made as much dua as he could for Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is what made him great, my brothers. These little things mattered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What other things make Uthman radiallahu anhu such a great man? Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Who wants to earn Jannah? Who wants to buy Jannah?" Meaning, if you invest in the path of Allah, if you give money in the path of Allah, you will attain Jannah. So Uthman radiallahu anhu was always the first one to raise his hand and say, "I will earn Jannah. Tell me what to do, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me how I can earn Jannah." He was racing against the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one occasion when the Muslims migrated to Medina and there was a shortage of fresh water, so there was a well of Rumah, and there was only two or three wells where the Muslims can attain fresh water. And the person who owned that well, he would sell the water to the Muslims at such a high rate. He was taking benefit of, because of the fresh water, he was taking such a benefit of this that he would sell the water for high rate. And the Muslims could not buy this water from that person because of the high rate. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever buys this well of Rumah, then he will attain Jannah for himself. And what did Uthman radiallahu anhu do at that stage? He was the first one to stand up and he went to the man who owned that well. And he went to him and he said, "I will buy this well of you. How much will you give this to me?" So the person said to him, he was taking advantage of him. So he said, "I'll buy this off you for 50 gold dinars." At that time, 50 gold dinars, my brother, was such a high amount. In this day and age, you can say over a few million pounds, you can say, just for a small well of water. So he gave that price that "I will buy this, you can buy this off me for 50,000 gold dinars." And what did Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was a smart businessman, Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was a smart businessman, so he told him that "I will trade for you." He said, "I will buy half the well of you." Meaning that the person asked, "What do you mean you'll buy half the well of me?" And Uthman radiallahu anhu said that one day I will use the well, I'll be the owner of the well. The other day, you'll be the owner of the well. So the man said, "Okay, that's fine. You can be the owner of half one day and I'll be the owner of the other day." So they agreed to 12,000 gold dinars, which is still a high amount. So on the day that Uthman radiallahu anhu owned the well, all the Muslims would come and he would give the water from that well for free without any charges. And on the day that the other person owned the well, no one would come to that person. Why? It's because if you're getting water for free one day, why would you come the next day to get that water? So that person realized that on my day, no one's coming to buy that water of me. But when it's the day of Uthman, everyone's coming and he's giving that water away for free. So he realized that there's no point of me keeping the well. So he went to Uthman and he said to him that, "I would like to sell the other half as well to you." And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was such a great businessman. And he said that, "There's no need for me to buy this other well from you. I have what I need. All the other Muslims come to me on my day. There's no point in me buying the other half. If you want to give it to me for free, that's fine. If you don't, I do not need it from you." This was a trading, my brothers, remember, and doing tijarat is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. By trading and getting yourself involved in business, it encourages you to, first of all, be your own boss. And second, it teaches you stuff about life. It teaches you a lot about life as well. So it's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and it's also the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In another occasion, when the Prophet ﷺ said that when the Muslims in Medina were starting to grow and the Masjid al-Nabawi was a small masjid at the start. It was probably half of the size of this hall. And there was more and more Muslims starting to come into Islam. So the space was not enough for the Muslims to come to Jama'at and pray their Salah and the Jama'at. So the Prophet ﷺ stood upon and said, whoever buys that land for the sake of Allah and gives it in the part of Masjid, then he has earned himself Jannat al-Firdaus. And who was the first one to stand up and buy that land? It was Uthman radiallahu anhu, my brothers. He was the first one to stand up and he went to the person who owned that land and said, how much will you sell this land for me, to me? And that person said that I will sell this land for, to you for 20,000 gold dinars. And he bought that without any questions and he gave it to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him, let's build a masjid and connect it with the masjid so the masjid can grow and more Muslims can come. Part of that masjid still belongs, as you can say, is sadaqah jariyah for Uthman radiallahu anhu. Until this day, the Muslims that the millions of Muslims that go to Masjid al-Nabawi, the part that they pray, the sadaqah jariyah goes to Uthman radiallahu anhu. Why? It's because he invested in his akhirah rather than looking at his life, even though he knew that if I invest 20,000 gold dinars for a land that I do not need, I will surely be poor. But he did not look at the worldly life. Rather, he invested in the akhirah, my brothers. This is what we should think. This is the mindset that we should have as well. When we invest in the mosque, when we give sadaqah, when we give our zakah, when we give anything in the path of Allah, we should not think that I'm going to become poor because of this, or I'm losing my money because of this. Rather, we should think that I'm investing in my akhirah, and I'm investing in my children's akhirah as well. We all like to invest in the world, don't we? We like to put our money into crypto, we like to put our money into Bitcoin, and our businesses, and lands, and stuff like that. But do we ever invest in our akhirah? Do we ever put our time aside to pray our salah, to learn about Islam, to learn about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, to learn the seerah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? This is investing in the akhirah, when you spend your time in the path of Allah, or you give money in the path of Allah. This is the time, this is the mindset that all the Muslims need to have, my brothers. So inshallah, we'll all make intention to spend a bit more time in teaching our children about the Sahaba and teaching the children about the lives as well. Remember, these are our real heroes. Not the Marvel, not the Hulk and the Avengers and the DC, all these heroes nowadays that the youths look at. Or these celebrities, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, or any of these celebrities that all, we all look at, that these are our heroes. No. Our real heroes is the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These are the people that we should be teaching our children about. If we don't teach our children about these people, how will they know about them? And in this day and time, when there's such a great power of social media, when the children are learning about these all other celebrities, this is the high time. This is the time that we teach our children. And we do not. We make sure that they know about the history of Islam and where Islam came from, my brothers. Inshallah, this intention should be made. And if one cannot teach their children, inshallah, they can come to the mosque or any other local mosque and they can ask their imam to give a dars on the life of the Sahaba or the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ to their children. And inshallah, I'm sure that no imam of the masjid will deny that request, inshallah. So let's all make that intention, inshallah. Inshallah, now we will pray our sunnah, and inshallah, after sunnah, we will have our khutbah, and inshallah, we will do our Jumu'ah. Jazakallah.